Channel One Right, I'm beginning the visit with Laurie and her two friends, John and Ed, this Saturday afternoon, the 5th of May, 73, Channel One Right, and beginning of this most unexpected visit with Laurie and her two friends, Ed and John, this Saturday afternoon, the 5th of May, 73, Channel One Right, and beginning of the visit with Laurie and her two friends, this Saturday afternoon, most unexpected visit, the Saturday afternoon, the 5th of May, 73, Channel One Right, and beginning of the visit with Laurie and her two friends, this Saturday afternoon, the 5th of May, 73, Channel One Right, and beginning of the visit with Laurie and her two friends, this Friday after Saturday afternoon, the 5th of May, 73.
We got all this stuff to paint the car, and then when we were on the way out, three people were hitchhiking, and we gave them a ride in the back of the truck, and they spilled half of it, and we didn't.
Still half the paint?
Yeah, all over a rug in the back, and you didn't believe that?
That's not like, that's my luck.
Oh, my generator, the generator came out of the Hillman yesterday, and so I'm getting that fixed, and I'm going to paint it black. You know that old green car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm getting new tires for it, and let's see what else.
Haven't you?
Window, I hope.
You haven't had supper, have you?
No, I don't know. It's a little while ago before we come out.
That's what we've been doing all morning.
Working on the Hillman?
Well, when the generator came out, I can't drive it because I don't have a fan belt on it either. So he's putting in a fan belt and welding my generator back in for about $20.
Why not? Where is that?
That's down at the gas station. We got to sit there because he said it'd be done today, and then he said no, he couldn't get anybody to weld it until Monday. So it's gonna be, I hope it's done Monday. It'll probably come out Tuesday or Wednesday. So that's being fixed. Tony's truck's got problems too.
No, I can't. You got your truck?
Mm-hmm. That's what you came in. That's your truck, John. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I heard somebody pulling up. I thought it was Cookie or somebody. Well, now, what you going to do with your Hillman?
That's going to be mine. I'm going to paint it solid black, real shiny black, and then I'll probably put some carpet on the floor.
Yeah.
And clean it up so it's not falling apart.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some parts.
You going
to
paint it special, or are you just going to paint it?
He's got a...
spray,
what is it?
Paint spray.
Oh, have you?
Oh, you're lucky to know somebody who's
yeah,
that.
Those are expensive.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to take the old paint off and everything?
You don't have to. You just rough it up and then prime it and it'll stay on.
Well, that's a whole lot better than all that sand in it.
Yeah.
Stuff, isn't it?
It's not the sand that's on it, no, it's not.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It does a picture of the colt.
That?
Uh-huh.
That's, we got that up at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's pretty.
Is that the one she's talking about?
Yeah. That looked like Missy when she was small.
That's a pretty picture.
Well, now you haven't seen, how you, tell me about your goats.
My goats. Oh, they're starting to butt people now.
Oh, is that right?
The dogs and people. And they're starting to quit taking off, but they still yell if you don't get it. They'll eat fleet feed, though. I don't know how I'm going to make them quit yelling and not drink milk all the time. They should quit by now.
Oh, they if you don't give them milk, they yell?
Uh-huh. Until I come out and give it to them. You can hear them all the way down the road. So Mom says, I've got to do it because I can't break them that way.
Oh, you...
I'm trying to wean them so they won't. They won't take the bottle. Because they're getting kind of big for that.
Well, I'm, well, you know, I just never thought about a goat having to be weaned, but I guess they were.
They're the biggest goats for 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
2 months old?
They're about 2 months.
And they eat sweet feed?
Mm-hmm. They eat sweet feed and anything else. They eat newspaper. String, all kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
They ate all Mama's flowers that she put out. So she didn't like that too much. She's in a wildflower class now, and she picked some wildflowers and planted them in the yard. My goats threw them off right down to the root. So,
oh, really?
Well, they saw her plant them. She should have planted them when they weren't looking.
And
well,
they knew right where to go.
Yeah. But they're eating everything. Their horns are about like that long.
You're going to let them keep the horns?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, but I'd rather have them have horns.
Are you just going to train them back?
You can carry them around, lead them around. If they've got horns, you just grab them by the horns and drag them around with you.
Oh, I see.
They drag you around.
I don't know from the thing. Way things look, they may be dragging me around pretty soon. Because when I'm hanging on both of them, they can knock me over already.
Oh, can they?
Uh-huh. They're really strong.
You know, I stop there every now and then, but nobody's there. I don't run into anybody. You know, of course, I don't stop in the afternoon. Is that when somebody's there?
I'm usually around 5, I guess. When I get off work, a little after 5.
Yeah.
Because I work all week and I'm still going to school at night.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to finish with that, I hope.
What's that?
That's at Aquin Jones, so when I finish with that, then probably by, you know, I'll be finished with high school.
When you finish high school?
When?
Uh-huh.
July.
Oh, that should be the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have much more, do you?
Mm-mm.
You mean you about to finish high school?
Yep.
Do you know that?
No. I'm real pleased.
Are you finishing too?
I'm already finished. I finished last year.
Oh, you did?
You were in college, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
You
growing up, guy.
Well, it's not that. I just lose track. yeah. Well, even so, I have stopped there several times, and I don't see anybody much.
Yeah, Mom's been real busy. She does all kinds of things now. She goes to class and stuff, and Dad's teaching. Well, he's at school. I don't know what he does. His secretary told me not to tell him that he doesn't do too much. She said, no, don't you tell him that. So.
Yeah, he just talks.
Yeah.
He just talks a lot.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
Well... now I called up there this week.
Mm-hmm, yesterday, didn't you?
Yesterday. Was it yesterday? And your mama was going to quilting, was it?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Quilting?
Yeah, she went to have a quilting day.
At 10:30.
Uh-huh, in the morning.
Yeah, is that just in the neighborhood?
Well, I think some lady she knew in a coffee group or something. Mrs. Brown. You know Mrs. Brown?
Uh-huh.
I think that's who she went over to her house to quilt. Somebody. Something. That's what she told me. I didn't hear much of that, and I don't know what all they knew.
Yeah.
But she stays busy.
Well.
Yeah.
Y'all don't see so much of it. You don't see much of your family then.
Well, not if I can help her. We don't always get along. As long as we're not together a whole lot, we get along a lot better. Well, that's about how it is.
Yeah. All right. How long have you been working full time?
About 4 months.
Good Lord. It looks just healthy. It looks like you agreed with it, Faye.
She likes it. Don't you, John? I bet she did.
You like it?
Yeah, I like working there pretty good.
What all do you do over there? Faye saw you over there. I didn't see you.
I do all kinds of things. I put up stock and help people find things. And I used to work in the back, and then you have to tell people what they need for colds and all this kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The day I was in there, you were the only one there except the cashier.
Yeah, I work as a cashier, too.
I do.
Yeah, I do all that stuff. This is about everything, and I put up cosmetics and stuff. I'm trying to help people find that. That's one thing I can't do. I can't tell people what color is going to look good on your face. I don't know what style. They usually just give up on me leave if Marjorie isn't there.
Yeah, can she tell that?
Hmm?
Can she tell them the color?
Mm-hmm. She's a cosmetician.
Beautician.
For faces and everything, all the different kinds of junk you put on there.
Is that right?
You know, you make your nose look longer or shorter and stuff with makeup, whatever. All kinds of things like that. So she can tell people about what they need to use on their hair. That kind of thing. But I don't think I'd want to do that for a living.
Well, now, she'd be special. She'd be special then, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
But how do they get somebody like that? Is she available, or do you?
Yeah, they're available.
Have to train them.
Well, somebody trains, and they go to different schools, I guess, and get trained for that kind of thing. But I really wouldn't want to do that. I want to work with animals. I don't want to work with people. They aggravate me. Some people you have to help are just so nasty that I'd rather. You know, animals don't say anything about it, even if they are mean. You get kicked or something. You know.
Yeah, after it's all over, they don't hold it against you.
Yeah.
I found that. I get after mine, you know, and talk to them pretty rough and smack them with these old palm paddles, you know. And all they do is just sort of punch a little bit, you know, and throw the head back where they go.
Yeah. Except for Angelina. She kicks you every time you get around the back of
her. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you what happened to her?
Yeah.
Some guy was riding them, and I told him not to ride her because I wasn't there, and they had an ass. And they were riding her with a halter and a rope. And she rears and backs, too. So one of them got kicked from messing with her, which serves him right, you know.
Yeah.
And she really has a nasty kick. But he was riding this other horse, and she was chasing him on this other horse out in the pasture when we drove up. Remember that? He was on a smaller horse, and she was running at him, trying to bind him while he was on this horse.
Oh, don't tell me.
She knows what's going on. You know, she knows who's supposed to ride her and who's not supposed to ride her.
Uh-huh.
But she kicked at me one time, and I broke a pole like that over her rear end. And she doesn't kick at me. She'll kick, but she doesn't turn straight at me and kick up.
Uh-huh.
She only kicked up at me one time. She'll turn around at me. But she's cut down on that, but she still will give it to people she doesn't know. But she hurt her leg, and she limped for about 2 weeks. And I was really mad about it. I had the vet come out, and he couldn't tell if it was broken or anything, because she wasn't walking on it at all. She was just kind of hopping along.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all right now. I knew that she'd be all right, even if she had to be a brood mare or something, because she's too tough to have something like that get to her. She's too mean for that.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. She still threatened to kick, even though her leg was sore. I don't
but
think
you
it
have her all right. You ride her all right.
Well, I didn't tell you that I got English tacky, did I?
Mm-mm.
Well, I've had a saddle, so I bought a jumping girth that stretches because she'd rear and pop my girth underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a jumping girth. And I only rode her once because I haven't ridden her since then because I don't know how tender it is. She doesn't like you to touch it or anything. She's probably just, it's in her head, but I haven't been messing with her too much since then. But I've got an English My mind are kind of hunting. I bought an English file, not an expensive one, just plain English file. And she's awful when I write her English. I can control her Western because she knows she can't get me off it. And the Western style, your stirrups are so stiff that, you know, when she rears up, your stirrups don't go up. And in English style, she rears up, your stirrups just double double up on you.
Oh.
So I don't know what I'm going to do with her.
Oh, is that the way it is? English, if you write English, you don't want somebody to rear up on you.
Well, you drop your stirrups and hang on the neck.
You haven't got as much to hang on to with it.
It's like, well, I can film rear back, you know, beer back, but on English style, it seems like you slide off a lot easier than beer back, too.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. I don't think she'll ever be. She used to throw the girl off who owned her. She used to throw her off English all the time. I think that's why she's so bad.
She learned.
Because this girl has to walk her through herds of butterflies and mud puddles and stuff. She's pretty rotten about things like that.
Oh, you mean just try her out?
When I tried her out?
When the girl was riding us through butterflies.
She'd get off and walk her through.
Oh.
Because she thought it scared her. Nothing scares a horse that kicks like that, you know. You have to come at her with a bulldozer, I think, to get, even make her turn around and run.
Yeah.
She was chasing some dog out there the other day. None of my horses will let the dogs in the pens, you know, if they get in the pasture, they chase them out.
Yeah.
My goats are starting to chase people on their bicycles, too, because a couple people said, oh, yeah, I saw your goats. They came down the driveway and were chasing me with your dog. I like my goats, I think, better than I like my horses.
Oh, she's going to be a goat.
Well, let me tell you, it'd be a lot simpler if you would take the goats.
A lot less expensive, too, wouldn't it?
That's
right. Because they eat anything, just anything.
Yeah.
I don't think they eat meat, though.
Yeah.
They just anything else, though.
And we haven't had a foal yet.
Tavuz is going to have hers pretty soon.
Oh, you think so?
She's starting to drop a little bit. She looks so skinny looking. I know it's just because it's taking so much out. We figure in either June, July, or August she'll have it. So.
You can't figure it any closer than that?
Can you figure for us? Well, she's acting awful nasty too, so we figure it's probably getting close.
1 year minus 14 or 16 days. But you don't know when she was there, exactly.
Not really. We were going to have the vet out, but Mom says if it's going to come, it's going to come anyway. You don't really need to know when.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to have a place, the vet ought to have a place where you just leave them. But then, if you did that, that'd be complicated. But they don't want to stay away from home.
Yeah.
It'd be all right if the vet had a place, if you had a cow. If you want to take a cow horse in to have it treated or something, that wouldn't be so bad.
It's hard to get him in there, though.
Yeah.
She didn't like trailers that much, I don't think.
No.
Most of them didn't.
Well, you know, you can get them used to trailers when they are little. Guess they're used to it.
She's about five, though.
Yeah. I used to do that. I'd have a bunch of calves, and I'd take them through the runway, through the catch, and let them walk through the chute. I wouldn't have it up high. I'd just let them run it, walk through it down like that. And they got used to it. They'll get used to it in a time or two. Then I had a little trailer, just a little two-wheel trailer, and I'd just let a few of them get in there and take them around there. Field, and they never did have any misgivings about being loaded.
Having practice.
Having practice.
Polly didn't like trailers.
No.
She got used to it. Then she got to where she would go and eat.
Yeah,
you know?
She knew that they weren't going to move. She'd go in and eat. She's all right. Mama was thinking about selling her to some girl, but I don't want her to do that because by the time that I'm finished with school in July, she'll be old. She'll be two. She'll be old enough to start putting somebody light on, because
mm-hmm.
she isn't growing right. I don't think. I think she should be a little bit bigger for how old she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's not that big. I don't think.
She's not that big.
Because she's going to be a lot bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be about 16 hands. I bet.
Supposed to be.
Yeah, because she's almost as big as Papu. She's just thin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got to get stocky, so. And they'd sell her, see, right before I, you know, right when I get time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mom bet me $1,000. I went and finished school, and I told Dad, just give me $5,000, we'll call it even. And he says, are you kidding? You can give me even $10,000.
Yeah. But I, does your daddy get home to feed the... Probably.
He doesn't get over there that much because it's at Johnny's mother's, and my dad doesn't like her. My mother doesn't like her either, but they're putting her over there because they need a place to keep her.
Yeah.
So she's not home anymore.
Mm-mm.
Oh, she's
well,
not.
She likes it where she can run around.
Sure, she must.
But Mom doesn't like Mrs. Allen.
Yeah. Well, who gets along over there? You?
I think the dog likes her at all.
John,
you
have to do something with this girl.
Well, we don't get along too well with his mother.
You know, I thought about that. If somehow people like need a pasture, and I got pasture I don't need. And if there's some way, but you know what they do? They go off and leave the animals. Some have the animals, and I'd have to take care of them.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any way to get around that.
You'd have to have them living out here to do it.
Yeah. And you wouldn't want them to stay in the little small place.
Mm-hmm. We're thinking about buying a trailer, because John and I are probably going to get married pretty soon. And Mom doesn't like that either, but then I can take my animals, and, you know, about 5 acres or something like that. It's what I need, really, for my animals.
And with all the animals you have.
Mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of fish now, too. I started aquariums. I've got just about everything. And there is that.
Well, now, do you know anything about them, except what you pick up?
What, fish?
Well, I mean, all those animals.
A little bit. Not a whole lot.
Well, I don't know how a fellow would go about learning more except just handling them.
Well, goats are different when they think you're the mother and when they think their mother's the mother. They act a lot different.
Because
they'll run away from you in about 2 days if they're with the mother. When the mother runs, you know, away from you, they'll run too.
Yeah.
And these think I'm the mother, so they're all over me all the time, and Johnny, so.
Oh, yeah.
They come out, and when you step out in the yard, they bay at you instead, you know, to get them something to eat.
They do what?
They just bay. You know, they like a, you know how a goat sounds?
No.
They bay.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They holler at me.
Sure.
Boy, they yell their heads off, and I can't stand it.
Now, you're not in on the Swanee River place.
I don't go over there much. I don't have any interest over there because there's so many snakes in the water. I don't really want to swim in there,
mm-hmm.
and I don't like to fish that much.
Mm-hmm.
I like my tropical fish and goldfish and stuff. I don't like to fish.
And you're not interested in the snakes.
I don't like snakes much. So I don't know about that. It's kind of interesting to paddle around the house, though, because it's so flooded. I couldn't believe it when we went over there. You know, that's a strange feeling to be able to walk around your house and then paddle around it the next couple of weeks.
Oh, the water's up so high.
Yeah, it's in the house.
In the house?
Yeah.
Still.
Lord.
I don't know if it's still in there. I know it was in there. My brother went out. He'll tell us. Tomorrow, I guess, we'll come down.
Yeah.
Went out there to camp. Know why it's on 13-foot stilt, so it shouldn't be in the house, but it is. That's really the house.
Now, what's that? The water
is that it's about
the house is
13 feet up on stilts, and the water is in the house, so it's really deep. You have to dive down underwater to go in the porch.
Wow.
You mean a house is on still 13 foot high?
Uh-huh.
I never seen anything like that.
You have at the beaches and things?
No.
Yeah, where they put them on long stilts and then the top of the house is up there and then underneath maybe just a garage or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've seen those, haven't you?
Well,
that's what ours looks like.
It's have
like
I seen place. That?
Sure. But I just didn't think about it being that way with the swine.
Yeah, it is.
I don't remember seeing that at the beach.
Long stilts? They have a lot of beach houses. I saw one beach house that has just two legs that come up like this, and that like there's you know place to park your cars underneath. And there's no really garage or anything. Like this. It's just sand, and then it's square like this. It's like an H enclosed in at the top, and the top
mm-hmm.
part's the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only two legs on it.
Hmm.
It's really different. They've got houses like that on their own stilts.
Two legs.
Yeah, it's like you know if you've got a piece of paper like one here and one here.
Yeah.
And then your house is right up here.
Yeah.
There's nothing underneath except for those two legs that come up here.
Oh, I see them, but they're long legs.
Yeah,
they're
like walls.
Yeah.
Go up like this.
Oh, you know.
So there's stuff like that too, but ours is really high up.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I've done is I've used binoculars with the wildlife,
mm-hmm.
birds and wildlife. Now, you don't get into that much, do you?
He has some binoculars, but I've never been anywhere where I can use them, really, too much.
Yeah.
Like, the Liscos live on that lake, and they can use theirs because they can see all the wild birds, you know,
yeah.
from their house if they look through the binoculars.
Yeah. Well, just a little six-power binoculars is all you need.
I don't know. What are yours that you have?
But there's a lot of difference in them, some of them. You know, a good pair of binoculars, they didn't used to cost much. I don't know what it costs now. But you take a hedge out there, and it's dark underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And the binoculars will somehow throw light under that. Do you understand that? It'll lighten it up there, where you can see.
Hmm. Maybe it's like the lenses.
Probably because it's stereo vision. Yeah, that's what the binoculars are for.
Yeah.
So it might just, you know, take light from somewhere else and reflect it that way.
Yeah.
Or like with Polaroid sunglasses, you know. If you take a Polaroid lens and then turn another Polaroid lens up and down, the top will be light and the bottom will be real dark.
Yeah.
Go black.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, anyhow, it'll do it. It'll do it. And I used to have that little rifle there. That's all the arms I have on the plate. I had a little scope on it, and it would do the same thing. And then I broke that scope, and I got the man over there on the road to town to put another one on. And I can't hardly see through that one.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. He just picked up one and put it on. I never do that. When I'm at the place, you see, I could have looked through the darn thing, you see, before he put it on. Then after he put it on, he had to time it, you know, make it shoot straight, and that was too late. I was just taking it up and looked through it. I never used much judgment at the right time. I think about it too late, and I found out something else. If you buy a car, used car, you can't see it. But if you'll just go in the service station and put it on one of the lifts and get somebody in the service station to help you, you can just see everything under there. And your shackle bolts and all those things. I never thought of it. I haven't bought one since I learned that.
I don't blame you. Johnny's lights went, his blinkers, one blinker went, his brake lights, and his horn. You can't see those things, though, when you buy one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If you do it every now and then, you'll learn a lot. You don't have anybody like Cookie over there to work with.
Mm.
I wish you all had somebody like that.
Oh, well, you mean a gas station? Gary.
Well, I was thinking about with your animals.
No.
No, I shifted the animals. I didn't mean machinery.
No, I just work with my animals.
Yeah. Those fellas know so much.
Well, he should have known a little more about that calf. He should have said it, I think. You know.
Yeah. That's right, because that was a healthy calf.
Yeah, it was. It did look like it was real healthy.
And these days, you see, you don't have to feed them milk. You don't have to wash it, you know, be sanitary like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
You just give them that mixture. And
mm-hmm. I've got some of that for my goats. I've got calf starter.
Yeah.
And they love it. My first goat wouldn't drink goat's milk, evaporated goat's milk.
Oh.
And that was really lucky, too, because that's 55 cents a can. And I'd be broke if I fed her that.
Yeah.
She wouldn't drink it, though. She liked evaporated milk.
Yeah.
She didn't like dry milk.
Yeah.
But she wasn't very healthy because the ones I have now have grown about four times as fast as she did. Because these are about that much bigger than she was, and they're about 2 months younger.
Oh.
So when they're as old as she was when she died, then they'll probably be about that much bigger, I imagine.
Yeah.
So she was just, I guess I should have left her with her mother because she was, I don't know, I think I probably would have done better with a different one.
Yeah.
But since I hadn't had one before, I couldn't tell that she wasn't the right size.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So,
well, what happened to her?
I don't know. She was healthy that morning. She could have either been bumped hard by something, and internally she was bleeding blood out of her mouth and nose.
Oh,
there were no cuts on her.
Oh.
There were no cuts on her or anything. But or she could have eaten something poisonous that ripped up her stomach. Or been bitten by a snake, I guess.
Oh.
Or, you know, she was kicked by the horses. It would have made her do that. But I don't know. So there's so many things that we don't really know what happened to her. Because she was healthy that morning.
Yeah.
She was all right.
So it wasn't your fault?
I don't know. If I knew what it was, it might have been, you know. But I don't think so. She was fine. She drank all the milk that morning. She wouldn't even finish a whole bottle by herself. And these, if they can get their little mouths on a whole bottle, they'll drink the whole thing in a half.
Will they?
Yeah, those quart-sized Coke bottles.
Yeah.
They're really pigs. They knock each other off of it. I've got one bottle, and they push each other off, butt each other's heads off, and then one latches on, and they hang on until the other one knocks them back off.
Yeah.
So, they like it a lot better when I have two bottles, but I haven't bought another nipple yet. Because they have calf nipples all over the place, but it's hard to get the small nipples for goats.
And that's what, you have to have that?
Mm-hmm. Because the calf nipples are a lot bigger and they're kind of big for them now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make them quit drinking milk because they don't need it. They eat in the yard all day and they eat sweet feed. They'll eat a dog food bowl of sweet feed if I'll give it to them.
Yeah.
In a day. And that's a lot, I think, for our little girl.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Well, now, let me see. Are you going to haul anything back? You come to get something?
No, Mama just told me you called, and she said you want to come out. So I came on out, she told me I was going to come out and talk to you.
Well, I'm flattered. Faye, did you hear that?
Mm-mm.
Her Mama said that we just called and said come out here and talk to us a while. I thought she came to get you know who.
Oh, she know who?
Why, you haven't seen. Let's show her that thing, Faye.
Okay.
I want, this is, you know the old cow.
You can't have it.
You know the old cow that had rheumatism?
Mm-hmm. You told me that she was your favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the vet said, well, you might as well take her to market. She won't be here long. Well, I thought to myself, well, she's brought me a lot of nice calves. She'd just stay here as long as she wanted to. Well, another thing, if you take her, if they're crippled a little bit, she was already sort of limping, you see, and they get them up there in those runways and smack them.
I know it. They hurt them. Yeah.
They'll get down.
They do that with pigs, too. They make them slide and fall and break legs and stuff. Just going up the runway.
Yes. Yes.
They
race them. I don't know. They're just used to it, and they don't notice it, I guess. They don't figure they're being hard on. But a cow like this, I don't know, more likely wouldn't get through. And then if they're down in the livestock market, it would be my responsibility. Whether she's sold or not, it'd still be my responsibility. Well, anyhow, I didn't want to fool with it anyhow. I'd just leave her out here. And I thought, well, maybe she'll get through the winter, and maybe she won't. And she did. That's
how old is she?
How old? Yeah. Age not hurting her. It's just rheumatism.
What makes them get that?
I never had it before.
Is it just something in the ear or something?
I mean, just like people.
Mm-hmm. Your mom says she's getting arthritis. Don't believe it. I know, I don't think she is.
And then comes spring, I thought, well, maybe she'll have calf measurement. I couldn't tell by looking at her. And I couldn't tell she was springing. And I was out there one day, we were out there getting the cow. And I looked up there and she was lying down and looking at me. And over at the side of her, lying down too, I saw them little rabbit ears sticking out. So I knew what happened.
When did that happen then?
Oh, she's a good sized calf now.
Two weeks ago?
Oh, it's been more than that. It's a month. Yeah.
She's beautiful.
She is. She's beautiful, Anna. She's got plenty of milk for her.
That's good.
Doesn't matter whether she's crippled or not, she's still a good milk factory.
Uh-huh.
It's also surprising. The vets, you know, if they can tell you things, and they're not always right. Well, they simply don't know. I mean, you know, they'll tell you best they know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't hold them responsible or get mad at them. They told me this cow would be down in a couple of months, but I didn't take her on in, I think. And I had a young cow, a heifer really, that was looked like she was springing. She said, that cow won't last a month. Well, 3 months later before she had the calf, and when she and they said she couldn't have it. Couldn't have that calf. If she was too small or something. Why, she had the calf and licked it and dried it and brought it up, and I never knew about it. No vet or anything. They were going to have to take the calf. So they tell you the best they know, and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't.
With that on horse, they couldn't tell if her leg was broken or not.
Mm-hmm.
He said he couldn't hear it bubble. He said it might be and it might not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. But it wasn't, apparently, because she's walking on it now. I figured nothing could ever break her in anyway. She's too mean to be like that.
When was you up with your grandmother?
When I was in Illinois?
Huh?
When I used to work on the farm, you mean?
Yeah.
I was about 12. I used to work with my grandfather mostly. But he died when I was about 12 and a half or 13.
Yeah.
About then. And then other people ran it from them. And they're taking out all the land. So they're renting it until my uncle can have it. And he doesn't know what he's doing with anything, I don't think. So he's gonna just mess it up, so I don't think it'll last too much longer.
Well, your grandmother, she can't run it.
Mm-mm.
But she was up, you lived with her when you were up there.
Yeah, when they put it in the will, when he was just about to die, he was real weak, and you know, when you got cancer, it gets you kind of crazy before you die, and they told him all kinds of lies, and he changed his will around. So my grandmother can't remarry, and my uncle has to be 30 before he gets the farm, and my grandmother has to die before he gets the farm. So she's scheduled to die when he turns 30.
How about that?
Lord.
Well, let me tell you.
That's what happened. That's exactly what happened in the will. That's how he changed it. So.
Well, isn't that something?
So these people are renting it until then, because the trustees have, you know what the trustees do? They take everything out of land.
Yeah. Yeah.
They take out, the fine crops for how long they're getting it, and then it takes you another 10 years to put it all back in. Because my grandfather was a good farmer. He rotated his crops with his pigs, and he used to have cows, but I think he quit having cows and just had sows for a long time. Because he had, just the little pigs, I think he had 300 out in one pasture. Little ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the sows, he had pretty many of them too. He had a lot of pigs to rotate with too.
So you got a hand in all those things up there.
Yeah, I learned how to do corn and bale hay and rake hay.
Uh-huh.
I just don't remember.
Yeah.
And take water all over the place for all the animals, livestock.
But you like it.
Yeah, I like that kind of thing. I just don't like working with people.
Well, let me tell you, why don't you, I've got all that hay equipment out here. Why don't you got help? You can get help. Why don't you make your little hay crop out here? And then you won't have to pay out money on all that livestock you've got.
Yeah.
It all works, just like any of it.
You did yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I've raked hay before. With a long rake with the sprongs, and then that shifts back and forth like this, Like the fence doing that. Because I was going about 2 miles an hour, and I'm just going through about this speed. And the whole thing shifted, knocked down a post or two.
Yeah.
Those things are really hard to move through.
I don't know about those. This is mine that you saw. It's right out there.
Does it pull straight, or does it swerve back and forth?
Well, it pulls straight, except it's crooked all the time,
That's different. This time it moves back and forth just to pick it all up. Just from pulling the tractor. It's an old kind.
Oh!
You know what I'm talking about? That type of rake?
Oh, yeah.
It's got sprongs that come out like this on the back, and then it shifts back and forth. And then when I bailed it, I hooked it and flipped it over when I was about 12. I don't know if I still do that. Because I used to be pretty strong when I was about 12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good age.
Yeah, you're about as strong as the boys are when you're 12. But we bailed it then. No,
Yeah.
I don't know how to hook up a baler, though. I wouldn't know how to do the string and stuff.
Well, I know how. It's already hooked up. All full of thread to go, ready to go.
Where is the hay?
Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Where have you put fertilizer?
It doesn't come up in that even fertilizer.
No, I don't fertilize it for hay unless I'm going to make hay. If I'm just going to fertilize it for cows, I don't put out much fertilizer. If you're going to make hay, you'd put out a whole lot. All the hay I have is head grass, unless you want to put plant some clover or something. That'd be troublesome. You were going to do that. Something already planted.
He had soybeans and corn and wheat. Those great big bins. And
mm-hmm.
When you send them through the machine that strips the cob,
mm-hmm.
or you have all the the empty cobs come back out, I guess. And then you go out and dump them in places where you don't have enough dust to land. You did all that kind of stuff. I used to tote wagons full of cobs, stripped cobs out.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That's nice. But let me see now. But did you knock around with your grandmother, too?
My grandmother can do all that by herself.
Oh, she can?
She, after my grandfather died, she brought in some crop. I can't think. I think it was corn all by herself. She'll tell you how many bushels and bushels and bushels of corn she brought in. She'll know. She knows to the, I'm surprised she didn't count the cob. She knows exactly.
Yeah.
She did that with a hired man, but she didn't miss the work because he's pretty lazy unless my grandfather was pushing at him.
Yeah.
So she knows how to do all that.
Yeah.
She's not much bigger than you are. She,
I know it.
She's
know it.
She's
those big tractors though, the huge ones. You know, the wheels come way up. She was running those myself.
Yeah.
And I just ran a little Ford like you have.
Yeah.
When I drove.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time since I drove that. I used to drive that all over the place.
Yeah. But your grandmother, now she, but she knows all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Does she like animals?
Mm-hmm. My grandfather didn't like horses because he used to have to hitch them up. So he never did like horses because he didn't like to, you know, he didn't think they were useful at all after machinery came in. And he hated to hook them up when he was little in the morning, so he didn't like horses. He about had a fit when she got a horse. And she kept chickens. She bought her groceries with chickens, chicken eggs. And then they had the pigs, and they had dogs. I think he liked the dogs. That's about all. He didn't like them. She does. She had about 30 cats.
What?
She had about 30 cats. But they'd get inbred, and she'd have to, they'd die in the winter a lot of the time. But she had about 30 cats to keep the barn and the fields clean because there were so many rats and mice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she had
time going in.
Oh, I see.
So they had a bunch of cats, because people would dump them out there all the time, and then she'd end up with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they multiplied pretty fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, she'd have a cat station out there.
She did, until, like, when she hasn't been living out at the farm anymore, since they're renting it. My uncle just lives in the house, and there was only one cat there when I was here last time, but there used to be about 30.
Uh-huh.
I got there for the summer, so.
Well, they've got varmints then, haven't they? Don't you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Rats, no.
Yeah, well, she didn't have enough money to spend on them to, well, she did, but she wouldn't spend much money on them since they were just, since there's so many of them. She fed them oatmeal mostly.
Oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Cats?
She heated up oatmeal in the morning, a big pan like this full of oatmeal. Put that out there for them with some dried milk or something in it, and they'd eat that.
Yeah.
So that's about all they got, so they didn't live too long in the wintertime.
Oh.
Which she shouldn't do with animals, but.
Uh-huh.
She shouldn't have been better than that, but they got rid of a lot of rats that way.
Yeah.
And she had lots of chickens, and she had lots of animals, I guess.
Well, let me tell you, I was up there, I came by, I just saw one time, that's why you're... How your parents were in, took that trip to
England?
England. And she was there, and she was cooking supper, and all. But she stopped and came out there and talked about it. And she talked about all those animals, you know. And I thought, you know, she just talked, tell you all about them. Is that right?
Except for horses. She didn't know much about horses.
Yeah.
She had one, and that horse just about killed me when she put on. And if the horse, you know, she didn't know too much about horses if she put me on it.
Yeah.
But that's about, she knew a lot about the chickens and stuff.
Yeah.
She used to, the chickens that pecked you when you stuck your hand in them to get the eggs, she used to put them in a little pen by themselves for about a week, and they quit doing that.
Yes,
oh,
right.
Those hens would make the most awful sound. That's when you go by.
Oh, yeah.
She was pretty disciplinary with her chickens. Because they can really put a hole in you when they peck you.
Yeah.
those old hens that are nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd pin them up for a week every time they do that.
Yeah.
Some of them wouldn't quit, but most of them would quit doing that.
You know, I saw, let me tell you what, we were down at John Palmer's store. That's this side of Reading. I was trying to get some steeples, one thing or another, and they're hard to get now, and posts. The posts are just fence posts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some colored woman in there, and she was buying some little staples, and I said, well, what in the order to do them? She said, chicken wire. So that started it. That's all I needed to know. She's raising chickens, and she just bought a whole fresh roll of chicken wire. And the trouble is, the dogs, the wild dogs, come and just, she says they just chew a hole in the fence and get in. And now you see, in this country in here, I don't know a soul who raises anything, chickens or pigs, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she lives a little piece farther on down there at Zuka or something like that, just past Reading out there by that school. And I'm going down there and see those chickens. And I'll tell you one thing, and listen to her talk about them too, because anybody who raises things like that, it's just interesting to hear them talk about them, you see, because they know so much about them. They're things you couldn't read in the book. And what I want is a rooster.
Do you? You should have told me that. I had about four or six when I gave those away.
But yours
were
general,
you
see.
You want a mean one.
Yeah, I have to be mean.
To survive.
To survive out here.
So
the horse.
Marmot and
get them. Yeah, I remember that. And but if you had a rooster, you see, he'd talk all day long.
They do.
Yes. You talk about the birds, they don't do anything compared to these roosters. They just walk around.
Yeah, I used to have one. She used to have one that was mean. He used to chase me. And then he'd jump up and spur me. Just about at my way.
Yeah.
And she took his spurs off for that. Because he was just awful. You couldn't walk through the yard without him coming at you, you'd have to jump over the fence and stand behind it to get away from him. He was really mean.
Now that was of your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So she just cut his spurs off.
Mm-hmm. She wanted me to help her, but I wouldn't help her either. She said, well, he may not be so mean if I take those spurs off, because he'd spur people all the time.
Yeah.
He's awful. He scared you to death, because that can't hurt you.
Sure they can.
And he used to run at me. First time I ever saw him, I was standing on a log, and he started coming up to me, and I jumped at him, and I figured he'd leave, you know, and go away. And he started running at me. I never ran so fast in my whole life after he jumped me once.
Yeah.
I never had that experience of a rooster take out at me. I've had a goose take out at me. But I know what to do with a goose.
Roosters are mean, some of them. Most of them were all right, but this one tasted all over the place.
That's furring.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what I do is just keep them off a little piece there where they couldn't get to me. But it might not work, might it?
Well, she just had a couple roosters just to keep the hens happy. She didn't have them for any other reason.
Yeah.
The hens were laid better if she had more chicks and more roosters.
Oh, would they?
Mm-hmm. So she had about five for, like, I think 300 hens. That's all she had, about five. And then they'd have their own house, each rooster. Or maybe two roosters to each chicken house. And they'd all, and what's really weird is they'd all go into their own house at night. They didn't mix. They'd go into the one that, when they were little, that they went into.
Oh.
They know which one's their house. And they also know that you're in there before dark, even if the doors are still open.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're supposed to do. And there's not a chicken in sight when you go to shut those doors. It's supposed to get dark. They're all in there, up on the roof.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to chase them in there ever. At least hers, he didn't.
No. Well, I've seen that many a time. Long towards night, you see, they just sort of head in that direction, sort of slow, and one of them would sort of get up on the stick and walk up.
Our pets do that pretty much. Well, you know, I'm just getting dark. They should go in their pen.
Well, they don't talk. Yeah. They don't. They won't talk back to me at night. Cause if I talk to them, they don't answer. Cause I guess they know that, you know, they could be heard at night.
The goats.
They're not bad. They bad in the morning. They drive me crazy. But if I'm out there at night and talk to them, if it's dark, if I say anything, they won't answer at all.
Is that right?
I didn't know that.
Not unless I go in there and they can see me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't answer if they don't. They can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Thrasher used to have goats right down here on Tuscarawilla, where he got cows. They weren't just that kind of goats, but he had a lot of them. And they'd come through about once or twice a year and buy what goats they had. Some fellow down in Tampa, where the colored people wanted them, say for 4th of July they wanted a barbecue.
Yeah.
But he made money on them.
Well, I'd use them. If I was going to make money on them, I'd probably just milk them.
Mm-hmm.
People pay a high price for goat's milk because you can't find it hardly anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Evaporated goat's milk,
mm-hmm.
and not goat's milk.
Right.
And that's more healthy than cow's milk for you to drink.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of things in it that cow's milk doesn't have in it.
Did you ever try it?
I don't like it. I don't like the way it tastes. They evaporate good milk. But, you know, if you brought up on that, then, you know, like a lot of kids will drink dried cow's milk.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to me that just tastes sickening. But if you brought up on it, I guess you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can get used to it in several days.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't like it. I mean, you could probably not. If you're little, that would have it. Since you're a baby, people like it a lot better.
Well, yeah, but Faye's mama had to use dried powdered milk, and while she's here, and I just went along with her and I took it to her. So I just soon have it as any.
Mm. Well, it depends. You know, like with Heidi, the dried milk, she got sick when I fed her that.
Oh, really?
And I had to feed her evaporated milk because it was sicker. And I said, then I started feeding these. I started them out with this powdered milk, but it's got vitamins in it for calf, you know, so
yeah.
It's probably got more in it than they need.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need as much, I don't think, as calf.
Oh. Well, let me tell you, I wish I had been up there on one of those farms for a while. I never was up on one of those big farms, you see, where they did all those things like your grandfather did.
Well, I'd like to do it, except, like, my uncle's going to be the one who inherits it, and knowing my uncle, he might sell it for profit or something, I don't know. You know, if he wants to sell it, I'd rather him sell it to me, but I don't think he will ever sell it. But he didn't know anything about machinery. He didn't know anything really in particular.
Yeah. What's his name?
Gary.
Gary, yeah.
You met him, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's the one who pushed 300 pounds of cement off the 8th floor of the med center. He's not very bright, I don't think.
Well, who did he take after? Your mama not. She wouldn't do that, would she?
Yeah. Nope. Well, I don't know. She had a different father, and his father didn't like boys. He liked girls. And so he never really got much attention from his father. I did, because I was a girl. But he never paid any attention to my brothers either, which were considered his grandkids. They weren't blood grandchildren. That's all the grandchildren he had.
Yeah.
When he died, yeah. Because Gary probably won't have any grandchildren until he's about 35 or 40. I don't think he'll get married until then. So, I don't know.
He's still not married?
No, my grandmother's after him about that. Boy, I pity the person who gets stuck with him, you know. So I wouldn't bother him about it at all.
What was he down here for? Did he babysit for a while for you?
No, he worked construction. He just wanted to come down for the weather.
Oh.
Winter weather down here is better than Illinois. Of course, I like it up there where it snows. Yeah, I like to be in the snow every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's all he came down is work construction. Yeah. We don't have babysitters anymore. My parents, if they go out of town, they just leave us here.
All grown up now.
We still do pretty rotten things when they go, but they still do it that way.
they don't tie your shoes for you, your shoestrings for you. I know one of my friends over here, Ms. Van Arnhem, she never could get away from her children. She was tied on all the time. I was over there one time, and Brent, he was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And, I'm not that old. And he's whining and said, Mama, tie my shoe. I said, bring it over here and I'll have to tie your shoe. He came over there and I didn't want, he even didn't want me to help him tie and he wanted me to tie. Well, I says, I'm not going to tie your shoe. And Mama walked Claire over there and tied that shoe.
And he could tie it.
He could tie it. Now, that's
ridiculous.
Well, look what it does for your children. I think it makes it hard on them.
Yeah.
Better just go ahead and let you,
do it yourself.
Yeah.
You can bring a horse up.
That's how Gary was. My grandmother, he forgot his books. She'd drive 5 miles to take his books to him at school. And my dad, if I forget my books, that's too bad. You know, you can flunk.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Faith. I want to see this little.
Yeah, go ahead. Let
them
drive in.
Well, now I will tell you, I've got to move the cows. Why don't I just move them while they're here?
Well, you got some good help.
Yes.
How about that?
Learn how to move cows.
Yeah.
Well, they'll move themselves. You know, just. They don't
yeah,
let you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you.
My grandfather said he did. If I ever was going to get a calf, he'd get a little black heifer.
Yeah.
Calf. Little bull calf.
Little bull calf?
Yeah.
That's
what he said.
Well.
Did they show or something in Illinois?
Yeah. Every day. If you go around this place there, I got to go through the front here, man.
You want medium or cold water?
Just medium.
And he's been in the house all day, so you can see how Dinah's washing the dishes.
Well, I don't.
These put it right there where we reach it. Not gonna hurt a soul. Six little reports that Rick has written up on working at the service station over there. And that's what he's doing, what you said. He's just trying to make contact. Now here's a curious thing that happened. He went over there to get used to the service station and then talk to the people who came in there, like Ray Carter or Mr. Weaver, people like that. But you never know in this sort of thing what's going to happen. What he found was that he was so stiff himself, he still had that old Winn-Dixie blood in him.
Mm.
He thought he'd got rid of that out here. Eddie over there turned out to be just as flexible and is.
So who's Eddie? Is somebody else working with you? You
know? No,
oh.
He's running the service station.
Oh.
He runs the service station.
Oh.
Fine, Joseph.
Oh, I Eddie.
Eddie,
okay.
Whatever his name is. It is a spirit. Now, Rick feels stiff as a poker over there. So, now that's the odd thing that happens. So he watches Eddie talking to these people who come in over there. Wholly different from anything he ever thought he'd get into.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. Well, I notice it. When he walks out, asks somebody what they want, he does it in such a methodical way, it don't seem like anybody working in the service station.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, he's reported that.
Yeah.
And he talked about it here, you see. This circumstantial. Well, now this one, Rick and Debbie were out one day, and they stopped over at Tricord's. He's my old buddy, you know. And when they came back that night, they said all this, these people coming in and out, ways in his subculture, and I picked it up. They didn't. They took it for granted. And they were familiar with it. Debbie in particular. She'd lived with it.
Mm-hmm.
He got that van. He got a motorcycle now. Then he's got all these people on the foot. And none of them know what they're doing. They can't talk. They just sort of float around. That's what they report on here in these papers.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what they're doing. They're just running to the sea. And now here is some of Rick's reporting on Tuck Mac. And he has one of the finest things here. It's the last hunting story that we got from Mr. Weaver. And it's all by ear, no tape or anything. None of these is with tape. They're just, you see, I thought you had to stay with tape, but you don't. Your ear will catch it, gets hurt, it'll catch it. You go from tape to your time frame. And you see?
Maybe, you know, I've often wondered whether the tape might not dull your hearing or your perception.
You start leaning on it.
You start leaning on it. That you don't. You start thinking about what you want to pursue rather than what. I'm not sure that. And I mean, this I think is reflective and then after. In hindsight, more, but to see. It's kind of like the story I heard about the preacher once that read all his sermons. Until one day he happened to put the wrong coat on and got to the pulpit and didn't have his sermon with him. Damned if he didn't have to give a sermon without the printed word, without the script. And it was the same fellow that I think is part of the same story, is that he kept all his sermons, you know, and kept doing them over. And when he discovered that he had a spiritual awakening, when he had to do it without it, and he went home and threw them all away and started from scratch.
I don't think you're ever getting entirely free of tape. Tape releases your muscles so that you can listen and hear things that you didn't hear, never heard.
Mm-hmm.
And while you are talking to somebody, you see about half of your attention is on what you're going to say next.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been said, and things foreign to the talk. And the tape enables you to study it, see it better. I never could have got anywhere at all to see this with my ear.
Yes, but there's something else transpires. In other words, I'm only parroting what I have read about and heard, and this fellow Bach, is it? No, it isn't Bach. It's yes, it is. It's Bach. I think his name is. Is that? And you must certainly be aware of this. The true communication is when you respond to what the other person is saying on a kind of a spontaneous way, rather than planning what you're going to say next to what he says. In other words, you keep. In other words, maybe more of the spirit comes out the closer you get together, which is the opposite of studying it on tape after you had a chance to reflect on it.
Well, now what Suzanne used to say was, she'd look at me and say, "You got the tape on?" And I said, "No." And she says, "The face, you know, seems to me like I always talk better if I sing the tapes on." And I, ever since then, it made me sort of self-conscious. I think, well, the tape's not on, and I'm just letting this thing drag. I'm not doing one damn thing. And nothing will move unless you move it. I don't, all the talk of the countryside is spontaneous. And it's all natural. They don't do anything deliberately. But you see, I've got to the place where everything I do is deliberate. I don't do anything naturally. I always think of what I'm going to do, and then I think of the effect it will have. And I think most of the learned people, professional people, are like that. I don't know that they are.
Well, I think. I think by and large they are. In fact, I've kind of said to myself and those that work around me that the only thing that makes some of the things bearable and the repetitive things that we do, that is the chore work, the only thing that keeps it from becoming numbing is the fact that we make it purposeful, that I do. I have this is the essence of the form in which I do things in my own in the office, for instance, is programmed, it's purposeful, we do it for a purpose and then apply it to most everybody and go through all the motions, see, with a purpose. And that's the only thing that, and on the level in which we work, I think what you say is true. I think most of us do work that way.
I don't know where the distinction, where one stops and the other starts. I don't know. I just said learned people and the professional people. I don't know. It could be when you start to work at the grocery store, you become deliberate. When some fella that lives out here gets a job in Sears,
mm-hmm.
selling,
mm-hmm.
and then he starts, people that come, he's known all the time, they come in to ever talked to. And she can't hardly sign her name. So, the skill in language, and she certainly has it. Her language is beautiful and flexible. It doesn't come with learning in particular. Well, you know, there's a lot of things you have to modify. But she's gifted.
Well, I was, this is another thought that comes to mind, is that this is analogous to, or I had an analogy in the, well, I don't know if it's an analogy, but it's parallel to the idea that she participates as akin to being a spectator. And this is another difference in people.
I wouldn't know what the factors are.
Yeah.
I have no way of finding out. Some of it she reports from what other people have reported to her. So.
Well, why wouldn't that be a proper area of exploration for you or your students to? If they, after they've explored enough spirited people and unspirited people to try and decide what or define what some of these differences are.
Can I state that again?
Well, I asked if it might not be a suitable area or an appropriate area of study for you or your students to explore the differences between or the likenesses of people who are spirited versus those who are not spirited.
Now let me see how we got into that.
You said you wouldn't pretend to know or wouldn't be capable of knowing or what the differences were. What makes someone like Daisy capable of participating versus non-participating, or how that was my term, how is participation what elements of the learnedness or non-learnedness are operating for someone who has the capacity to observe these things. See? In a sense, isn't that what these young writers are trying to learn how to do?
Well, as I understand it now, you're inquiring into their faculties and.
Isn't that partly what you've been trying to do in these in the tapes, was to identify? I mean, outwardly you say, gee, this is a good tape, or you can communicate with this this individual on the evidenced by this kind of material that comes out of the tape, versus those you can't communicate with.
Carl, I actually am not, I don't make any subtle distinctions. There's nothing that I do here that's hard to understand. On this thing I said to you about Rick working over there at the service station,
mm-hmm.
He wanted to go over there and get the routine, and then when these people from the countryside came in there, or anybody, he could talk to them. And he noticed that they stayed, they came over to get gas, and then they'd stay over there long enough to talk.
Who'd they talk to, Eddie or him?
They talked to Eddie. Mm-hmm. And Eddie could talk to him. That's what he thought he'd get over there for. But what he found when he got over there was that he was still as stiff as a poker with that old Winn-Dixie stuff in him. And now what he's trying to do is limber up and take a few lessons from Eddie. Now he thought he'd already learned that. He knew he was stiff, you see. Oh, he was stiff.
Oh. Well, I don't think that's too surprising. All he learned was that there's an infinite number of levels of awareness.
Well, what I'm trying to say to you is that that's not something you have to study. That's just something that you run into. He sees that what he's going over there for is not what he's going for. Now, what he's going for is to learn a little bit from Eddie, not to be so stiff. Now, you see, you don't have to inquire as to the faculties. There's no inquiry into that. I mean, you're not being theoretical. And I'm not, and none of this, you see, way in the subculture. That's not theoretical. I don't do anything that's theoretical.
I don't know whether I believe that or not.
No. All I use ideas, but they're all there. Plain, commonplace ideas. Now, I've noticed this, but you see, you don't have to inquire into it. I've noticed that to talk and what I call the man of the countryside and their reporting on experience, you can tell when they're talking, when they make contact with the subject. And from then on, they're hardly aware of you. Oh, they talk to you. You can talk back and forth, but they're reliving it. You can tell they are. And memory isn't involved in the usual sense of the word. But you also know that all their faculties are alert. You know that. They can't do it when they've got distractions. With a big truck coming by.
Mm-hmm.
Or with the children playing. Or they expect a telephone call. They can do it. But that's not theoretical. That's just what you find out just from doing it from day to day. I found out a lot of other things. Florence is like that, spontaneous. We went out to have syrup making, and I didn't see a thing out there. And I talked to her over the phone, and she told me things that I had never dreamed of that happened out there. I kept thinking about it. The next day I said, I wish you'd sort of go back over this and here's a little, you know, a little something here, a little something there. Wasn't what you'd call organized. And I said, just get it together a little bit and come over here and make it. And you know, now she can organize medical fair stuff and stuff with the PTA, but she couldn't organize that. Spontaneous or not at all. Now that's where the countryside. There's always an organization there. It hangs together. But it's not conscious. And see, all my organization is conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing about the countryside. If you make them self-conscious, you sort of clear off. If they think you're interested, and what they say is one thing, but if they think you're interested in talk in an abstract way, I'd kill it. And I made the mistake of saying, come on over, let's talk. talk a little. I just love to talk. That's the wrong thing to say. You come over and we'll get together on some of these things. You got to keep it on the subject. I mean, that's the sort of thing I learned.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff I don't learn. But now, you see, those chaps down there at your office, they don't need to, I know they have abstractions, they need to pick up a few little ground rules, like Rick working over there and finding out that he himself is still as stiff as a poker. That's what they, that's the kind of thing they can do. Well, I don't know how you, I've never, of course they're all smart, the ones that work with you. But the only ones I work with are actually scholarly. You see, they got, they're way along in an abstract way. And I've never worked with anyone who wasn't. I know they could not. You see, Debbie never made anything short of an A since she's been in the primary grades.
Yeah.
I mean, she just, she, you just look at her and you, when she starts to talk or tell you something, and you don't start grading her anymore. I mean, she's one of the giftings. I never realized it until. But now, what you're talking about was the people, was the people that work with you down there now. That's something that would be worth trying out, finding out about.
Yeah. Well, that sure causes me concern, because I thought I knew something about the learning process, but how it relates to teacher, employer, and learner is very,
yeah,
very difficult.
Well, now,
very, very difficult to put it there again. I'm trying, presumably, to be theoretical, trying to analyze what process is actually at work. But you finally get back to the fact that you just give them an opportunity and point them in a direction, and then here's what needs to be done, and then you can't. They have to find out how to do it.
Yeah. Now you're talking about.
I'm just talking about helpers in the office.
Them talking to your customers.
Yes.
Yes. Well. They tend to be a little routine.
Well, very routine and very lacking in imagination. Mostly because I think they have so few facts at their command, and they study the subject so little that they really don't know where they are at any given moment, so that any response from a patient really is no inspiration. They're not prepared for any inspiration to take off from any given point and get more information. This is the part I'm talking about. And they don't, because you have to do this to pick up clues to the information that you're looking for.
Yeah.
You might talk to somebody and get half a dozen responses before they'll say, well, you know, that they'll tell you something that's finally a clue to what you'd like to know, and then you begin to pursue, well, what happened then, you know. But this kind of exploratory learning exploratory activity that requires you to investigate or at least expand from a point in the conversation is very difficult for average people to learn how to do.
Now, for the last 10 minutes, you've been talking abstractly, and I haven't got the faintest idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You see, I take it back and to the concrete case over here. see the experience. And it's very difficult to it's so much simpler, you see, when you get when you just give the actual cases.
Well, you can probably see why I probably have a problem.
Well, you don't have a problem. You can talk. You can talk both ways. This is other than anybody else. But it's tempting, I guess. You see, one of the things you see, the thing that I got into before I could make any headway over here was like that. There was a fall of '68, late summer, and I go around the side and I hear the talk, and especially over there with Sal and Mabel, and both of them, you see, were not as healthy as they should have or had been. But the talk was so fine, and I just couldn't listen to it, for thinking that I didn't have, it was just all about gone, and it wasn't, I didn't have anything to put it in. I couldn't keep it in my ear. I couldn't get a hold of it. I just knew it was just rich. And whenever I was there, my muscles I just didn't have a bone in my body. I just satisfying. And that's, you see, I went by that time, and I had these little cassettes. I had that little thing there. I took around in my pocket. I went over there, and I went to Mr. Gilbert's, and I went over to Mr. Morrison's. I had three little cassettes, about 30 minutes to 45 minutes each. And that's what did it. I worked on them solid. And they were all commonplace. And Faye says, "What are you working on that for?" I says, "That's just talk." And I saw for the first time that the talk was informative. Mr. Patterson had that chair. What do you call that chair that they have now where you lean back and got vibrators on it and all like that?
Yeah.
And he gave me all the information about it. And he showed me how the vibrator worked. If mine works in terms of information, and the information, the content, is largely experience. Now you say, how would that ever do it? It did it this way. I had lived over there, you see, in the campus. And what I was deluged with was empty, abstract language. And they'd write papers, and they'd make them abstract, and they had no meaning whatsoever. So you see, the abstract gave it meaning. Now one other side of it did it. That's what I call the Freudian side. But the Freudian side is simply what makes a fella nervous and self-conscious. And he don't talk about his own thoughts. He says because he thinks that's what you expect to hear. That's the Freudian world. Now, I don't get that from Freud or from the psychologist. I got it from Henry James. It's that little piece of fiction, Turn the Screw. And some articles on it. Now that was my equipment. I didn't realize it exactly at the time. not much superstructure.
No, that's not much. Tell me what you mean by abstraction, giving it life, giving it meaning.
You were talking in abstract, which is now, you see.
Yeah.
And not in actual cases or experiences. And they're talking in experiences.
Well, I call that generality.